supplements. There's probably no other topic in bodybuilding that's more hotly contested and debated than the subject of supplements. I mean, you can just open up any fitness magazine you find, and you'll probably, if you go ahead and count all the ads that are in there, I've done it. I know. About 60% of the content in these magazines are from supplement companies. They're ads that are out there. So people know, smart people know, smart marketers know that we're out there looking for supplements. And you always have, all supplements are extreme in my case. When I look through a magazine, I see other either extreme fat burning or extreme muscle building, like mass building, whether it's testosterone boosters or whatever it may be. There's always like the extreme level with these supplements because they're marketed as being, as giving you extreme results. Well, tonight we're going to take on extreme mass building. And to help me out with this hotly contested topic is going to be somebody that hopefully you're well aware of by now. He's on the Underground Bodybuilding Tips advisory team, and that's Timothy McNulty. Timothy, welcome to the program.
Hey, Jeff. Thank you very much. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. As you can tell, I've already I've got like at least two cups of coffee in me already. I'm like, I wanted to get so juiced up for this interview because I gave you a very, very well, what I would consider a tough assignment. But for those of you that don't know Timothy, you know, my nickname is the Muscle Nerd, but I'm like I'm just a toddler compared to the knowledge that Timothy has. And Timothy is actually somebody that I stumbled upon, actually quite by accident, when I was creating my homemade supplements book, and was just amazed at not only the information that was on his website, but also in the ingredients that he had. You see, Timothy is the sole proprietor and president of Pure Bulk Nutrition. And that's his company, and basically what he is a raw material nutritional supplement provider. He works with directly with overseas suppliers, and these are attested quality ingredients. Like when you buy bulk supplements from Timothy's company, you actually see the testing on the label. He makes sure that people know that this isn't just something, like you'll find a lot of these websites that will put out a powder and it basically just has the name of the powder or the name of the herb on the front of it. Timothy doesn't do that. He's very, very, he's got a background that will just absolutely floor you when it comes to the analysis and creation of supplement formulas. And there's a very good reason why he is our supplementation advisor for the Underground Bodybuilding Tips site. I'm going to let Timothy kind of talk about what his background is and give you a little bit of a shot at what he actually does. But I want you to know that you can find out more about his training, I mean not his training, his products, and all the information on these topics that we're going to talk about tonight over at purebulk.com. And as a special gift for anybody that's listening to this, you're a loyal customer of mine, you can actually get a discount. He's offered an exclusive discount to us if you order from purebulk.com. And if any of you have my homemade supplements program, you know that he's listed in there as my provider, as my favorite provider. So I get everything that I need from him. When you go through the checkout, if you type in the word muscle nerd, all one word, lowercase, in the checkout, you'll actually get a 5% discount. This is an exclusive discount that he's offered to all the subscribers of our membership program and things like that. So definitely go over to purebulk.com and check out Timothy's site. Now, Timothy, I've known you now for a little while, and it always floors me when we start talking about supplements and how much I don't know. Just when I think I know what I'm talking about, actually, I have to leave and go through a 12-step program after getting off the phone with you. So tell everybody a little bit about your background and how you came to create the Pure Bulk Nutrition Company.
Yeah, all right. Well, thank you very much for the glowing accolades there, Jeff. I'm not sure I really deserve all
well
of
deserved.
That.
Well deserved. Go on.
But I can tell you that I got started in the nutritional supplements about 5 to 10 years ago. I was doing some research at the University of California, Davis, where I did my undergrad work on some essential vitamins and nutrients and, you know, just mostly lab technical work, just really boring stuff. But one thing that I did learn, I came across a very interesting arginine analog that we were doing some research on the time. It's a NOS, nitric oxide synthase intermediate, and it's not a commonly available arginine analog. So it's not something that you can get. I don't even have it or stock it. It's just in the research community. But that's really what piqued my interest in the nutritional supplements markets was some of the new and very interesting nutritional analogs that are coming out on the marketplace and the process whereby these supplements go from research phase, you know, the research phase and animal testing, clinical testing, and then they go into full-blown production. Well, anyway, that's how I got started. And but my career actually was something completely different. I was a mechanical tooling designer designing ultraviolet optical tooling for the semiconductor processing industry. But about year, let's see, 1994, I attended 2 years of medical school at University of North Texas Health Science Center. And I did the academics, and I got interested in the Internet at the time. I had a part-time business. And, you know, what do you know? I dropped out of medical school and decided to do this Internet business full-time, and it was a very successful venture. You know, I was one of the dot-com millionaires there for not too long, for a couple of years or so, but... it was a very interesting ride while it was all going on at the time. And so I really got, I really thought that there was a market after doing some research into the nutritional supplements industry, especially online. You and probably most of your people there that read your materials probably understand. I mean, everybody that goes to the store and buys nutritional supplements understands that there's a lot of marketing, there's a lot of retail ready materials that go along with these nutritional supplements, these what we call in the wholesale markets, what we call the raw materials, which are the actual supplement. You know, you go and you want to buy a supplement, you know, say it's arginine alpha ketoglutarate, and that's the raw material, and it comes in a capsule. And but you don't, you know, you look at the label and the ingredients, and there could be 5 or 10 things in there, you know, sodium stearate, or, you know, just all kinds of fillers or anti-caking agents that are going into that capsule or that tablet to make the manufacturing process more more profitable and more workable for the nutritional manufacturer here in the United States. And and there could be marketing materials, the bottles, and all kinds of things that you're getting in there. And when you pick this thing up and it's light, you know, it may have, you know, 15, 20, or 30 grams of actual raw materials, and you're spending 10 or 20 bucks for this, and you notice that, you know, your wallet is really lighter after, you know, you buy, you know, your nutritional supplements for the month. And so I got interested in this from the nutritional wholesale markets, understanding that there's tremendous markups of 10 or sometimes 20 times from the nutritional raw materials going into the final product that you actually purchase there at the over the counter at your whatever the mall outlet that you're buying from, or from your grocery store where you buy these nutritional supplements, 10 or 20 times. And I thought, you know, most of the people that I know that, you know, you go down to the gym, and most of these people really know supplements. You know, if you spend a lot of time working out, you spend a lot of time talking to guys that you're working out with, you really get to know nutritional supplements fairly well. I mean, there's creatine and arginine and a few others that, you know, virtually everybody's taking to get the kind of results that they need and expect. And virtually no one is buying capsules when they're buying arginine or creatine. There's really no need. You're paying for a lot of marketing and promotional materials, a lot of overhead that you really don't need. What you want is results. And for results, the paper marketing four-color glossy brochures just don't give you results. What gives you results is the nutritional raw materials inside those capsules.
Well, and you just touched on, you know, a big if there, because like you said, you know, we make a big assumption that people that are even going to be listening to this are going to be, I mean, I have a lot of subscribers. I mean, I have a lot of people that subscribe to the Muscle Nerd newsletter and all of my products. I mean, I have customers that have all of my products, and they know that I'm serious. Actually, I used to be really against supplements. I used to be very much one of the camps that you don't need supplements. You know, you can do it without supplements. I've become, since over the last several years of my training and experimentation and in-depth research, become a real, real fan of supplements when they're used the right way. Now, you just threw something out there about how people go to the gym, they talk with their buddies, they know a lot about supplements. And what I find is that, and I'm sure you get this too, especially from people that you actually talk to on the phone, is just how much people don't know about supplements. And I'll be the first one, I mean, even though I've written a book on supplementation, I'll be the first one to admit that there's way more that I don't know about supplements than there is that I do know about supplements.
Well,
I can find out what works for me and what, you know, and find out things about what doesn't work and everything. But you know, there's so much that's always coming up, new research, new products, new things like that. And that's why I think that your business is so, your website, the products that you have are so great, because they do remove that sort of that marketing angle of filler. You know, what people add to, they could have a very, very effective core nutrient and then add a bunch of stuff to it to make it seem like it's a proprietary blend or it's a patented process or whatever it is, and in actuality what they've done is they've lessened the strength of a very good nutrient. And that's why when you buy from you and you're buying the active ingredients and you know how to use them correctly, you're head and shoulders above those other guys at the gym that are buying the, and I'll leave all the actual, I'll throw some names out there, you know, the Muscle Tech products and the things like this with all the proprietary blends. I mean, that's what most people are doing. Otherwise, these guys wouldn't be able to afford these 10-page ads in these magazines, you know?
Exactly. Those proprietary formulas, I mean, if there's one thing that irks me in this industry more than anything else, it's the proprietary formulas. You pick up something that contains, for example, 1,000 something grams of product, and there's really very few weights listed. There may be some milligram weights of some of the essential vitamins and some of the other essential nutrients, but you get into the proprietary ingredients in the formula, and the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, really only requires that these manufacturers list the ingredients in the order of the concentration that they occur in those formulas. But in a lot of cases, you'll see multiple formulas listed on the label that are embedded with each other that become very, very complex. And what they're doing is they're just diluting the product in most cases with very cheap and expensive nutritional raw materials in order to give you the perception, the perceived value of, hey, I'm getting, over a kilogram, 1,029 grams of nutritional supplements here, and it's only costing me, $150 or whatever it is that they want to charge. And doing the reverse engineering that I do and that you do also, I can go back and look at the actual raw materials that are going in there. In a lot of cases, when the proprietary formulas, these companies put out proprietary formulas, they'll have patents. And with just a little bit of research going into the patents and reading the patents, you can pretty effectively reverse engineer their formulas, because U.S. patents do not allow proprietary formulas. You can't patent a proprietary formula. You just can't do it. That's not what the U.S. Patent Office accepts. what they'll accept is formulas and, in some cases, some ranges of amounts of ingredients. But by just a little bit of sleuthing, a little bit of detective work, you know, you and I, you know, are very familiar with going back through these analytical formula that are published in patents and in other and in research materials, and figure out what the you know, what the ingredients are and in what or what amounts they are. And when I do that analysis, you know, I throw those into my spreadsheet here, and I have the market rates, the wholesale market rates included. It's unbelievable. You know, you could find a nutritional, a proprietary formula that's selling for $150 for a month's supply, that really only has $4 or $5 worth of nutritional raw material, cost involved in going into that. And, you know, these people, they're getting results, but they're paying way more than they need to pay for these proprietary formulas. And, if you just, you go to Jeff, you go to your site, Jeff, and get your information, you know what works, and you know the amounts to take, and you can take that information, you're armed with, well, let's see, you know, I'm an educated nutritional consumer, I know what I want. I want, you know, for example, a creatine that I want to take, and I know I'm going to take 3 to 5 grams, and I know that if I'm taking, you know, what I was taking, you know, had a lot of non-essential, you just fillers in it. You know, let's just get down to the base, get down to what's really in that formula that's working, and just use that, just buy that, because you really, I mean, what do you really care about? You care about results. You care about, you know, acquiring the nutrition and taking it in a way that will get you results. And if you can do that at 1/4 or 1/10 of the cost of these retail nutritional proprietary formulas, I mean, it just makes sense not to pay for marketing when you know, when it's not going to give you results.
Yeah, well, definitely your site, like I said, for my program at homemadesupplements.com, you are listed as my preferred supplier because of the quality of the ingredients, the variety that you have, because I know you're getting stuff in all the time. So I just stopped putting up a list of all of your supplements, because it's just, it keeps growing and growing and growing. So, you know, I gave you what I considered a relatively tough assignment. Given all the ingredients that you have, all of the bulk supplies that you have, my mission to you was specifically to the target for those people that are trying to build muscle mass. I wanted you to give me your top 3 supplements that you know are effective, and let's talk about those. So are you ready to get into these now?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Okay. Let's go ahead. Give me supplement number 1 on the top 3 for mass building.
Okay. Supplement number 1 is creatine, and that's a supplement that virtually every bodybuilder and performance athlete knows. There are many different forms of creatine. We call them analogs. They are the basic creatine amino acid, the peptide, with various attached groups. The most simple creatine, and the one that's been used most effectively by more bodybuilders, weightlifters, and performance athletes than any other creatine, is creatine monohydrate. And
let me go ahead and jump in here real quick, because for those people that out there, we're talking about the top 3, and Timothy says creatine, you're thinking, oh, creatine, I mean, gosh, everybody knows about creatine. Let me tell you something. There's more you don't know about creatine than there is that you do know about creatine. And even those people that have been around for a while, creatine's one of those things that, you know, it's marketed so much because it works, which is why it's on the top 3 list. But, you know, I can tell you in my conversations with Timothy, there's a lot that people don't know about creatine, and it's become very, very confusing because of all the marketing hype around it and the different analogs that Timothy's talking about. So I would highly recommend you tune in very, very closely here, because you're about to get schooled on something that a lot of people just take for granted, and there's some real, real important stuff you need to learn. So I'm sorry, Timothy, I had to go ahead and just interject that.
Yeah, sure, not a problem. Now, Jeff, as you're aware, creatine analogs, there's many of them. There's probably a dozen that are somewhat popular right now. And it seems like every month there's a new creatine analog that's patented, that's coming out, that gets a lot of hype from guess who? The patent holder, the company that paid for the research in many cases for the clinical testing to give the results that that they're paying to get, basically. And so what do you know when you look at these marketing materials, these glowing reports for all these creatine analogs that are out there? Well, just before we get to that, to some of these new analogs, let's just do a brief discussion of the first creatine analogs that were on the market that did show great a response and such great results for the users.
Let's go ahead. I mean, first, before we do that, because I made an assumption also that everybody knows about creatine. So just specifically, what is the main benefit of creatine when it comes to the topic of mass building?
Okay, well, creatine is an amino acid. Is an intermediate in the ATP adenosine triphosphate cycle in cellular mitochondrial, so that when you supplement with creatine, you're creating an energy source for your skeletal muscles for the so that they can produce energy so that you can have longer, more strenuous physical activity so that you can have greater strength and endurance. And this will allow you to work out longer, to work out harder, and to really break down, and this is what happens, is you start to break down your muscles as you work out, and then that in turn causes an anabolic process whereby your muscles recover from that strenuous exercise, and in that process they will build muscle mass. And creatine is one of the most effective supplements for what is termed volumization of muscles. It's not purely adding it's not purely adding just muscle mass. It's adding strength and endurance to your muscles and to your workouts as well. There are many other benefits for creatine besides just weightlifting and increasing strength and muscle mass as well. There are cognitive benefits. Creatine has been, I mean, there are literally thousands of clinical studies on creatine that have been done over the years that show just some really remarkable benefits to creatine supplementation, including cognitive benefits, our thinking and memory, recall can be enhanced with creatine. It's really, it's not just muscles that are benefited and muscle mass that's benefited by creatine. But the creatine, I can get into some of the technical physiological aspects of creatine. When we consume creatine as a nutritional supplement, with strenuous exercise, the creatine is going to enter, we consume it through our mouth, and then it goes into our gut, it goes into our intestines. It's absorbed in our small intestine, and it goes into portal circulation. That's the circulation of blood that goes through to the liver. And then once through portal circulation, it goes into systemic circulation. It goes into general circulation throughout our bodies. And from then, there it is driven, or there are active transport processes that carry the creatine into our skeletal muscle cells. So that's basically where we want it to get. We want to get creatine in through our mouth orally. We want to take it as a nutritional supplement, but then we want to wind up with that creatine going into our muscle cells where it can actually do some good.
And how long does that take? Okay, so there's a problem here. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, it doesn't take very long at all. You know, for that to happen, it just takes a matter of 10 or 20 or minutes or 40 minutes, depending upon our physical exertion, our physical activity. You can take creatine before a workout, and as long as it can get into the small intestine, it's going to be absorbed to a given degree, and that's the problem. That's the big problem with creatine, and the reason why there are so many analogs out there is because there are two ways in which this formula that we have of ingesting creatine and having it wind up in our muscle cells, there's two ways in which that can be problematic, or and that can really fail to happen to the degree that we want it to. One is in absorption in through the gut into portal circulation. And that's where, okay, we've taken the creatine, it's in our small intestine. Is it going to be absorbed into our portal circulation, or is it just going to sit there in our small intestine and not be absorbed? Well, if it's not absorbed, then it acts as an osmotic draw for fluids out of our body, so that, and this is a very common problem with creatine supplementation, is dehydration, because you're drawing water out of your body and into your gut, into your intestines, where the creatine resides, because it's not being absorbed through the small intestine. So, and that's called, and that's under the broad class of bioavailability, which is absorption of creatine through the gut into portal circulation. And if that's not happening, we're going to get bloating or and other problems as well, frequent urination and diuresis can result from unabsorbed creatine. It's not getting through our intestinal walls and into portal circulation. And so some analogs are better for some people at being absorbed than others. And if you're taking a creatine and you're getting bloating, abdominal bloating, if you notice, oh gosh, I just don't feel well, or maybe nausea, frequent urination, you have just this abdominal bloating feeling, that's the creatine that's not being absorbed through your intestinal walls. And that can happen with creatine analogs, such as any creatine analog, but it can happen more with creatine monohydrate and the creatine ethyl esters. It can happen as well. But some of the new analogs out on the market now seem to show a lot better absorption through the intestines, so that intestinal bloating is reduced. That's the number one problem with creatine, is just not getting the absorption.
So which analog do you recommend then for creatine that people use that seem to have better reaction to it, less side effects of the bloating for those people? Because I know a lot of people have tried it and they have had stomach cramps and things like that, where they figured, okay,
exactly.
I guess I can't use creatine. So one thing I'm hearing from you is that you need to drink, you need to make sure that you're hydrated so that your body can absorb the creatine as well as increase cell volumization and keep you from getting dehydrated.
Right, and yeah, absolutely. You have to drink lots and lots of water, fluids, whatever,
mm-hmm.
when you supplement with creatine, because it's either going to draw, if it stays in your gut, which isn't good, it's going to draw water out of your body and you'll get dehydrated. So you have to take water in some form in order to prevent dehydration. But also, if it is absorbed And it is make it through portal circulation, and that's the next problem that I'm going to talk about. It's going to get into your muscles. It's going to be driven into your muscles where it will cause volumization. It becomes where you want it to be an osmotic attractant and to really build volume is in your muscles. You don't want to build volume in your gut, so you want to get it into your muscles. And then, but it's equally important. It's going to draw water and volume someplace, wherever it is. You want it in your muscles because that's where you want your volumization. So the number one supplement, creatine analog that I recommend is a new creatine analog, relatively new. It's only been on the market for a couple of years now. It's creatine gluconate. And have you heard of that, Jeff?
I haven't, no.
Okay, creatine gluconate is essentially a creatine peptide, amino acid, bound to a molecule of glucose. And the way that glucose helps is that glucose is very easily and very quickly absorbed through the intestines. And so it aids in the absorption through the small intestine. Once it is absorbed into portal circulation, the creatine and the glucose are lysed by liver enzymes, hepatic enzymes. And so you wind up with your creatine and your glucose, which is essentially the simplest sugar, going into your systemic circulation, and glucose will spike insulin in your systemic circulation. And insulin is what is necessary to drive both glucose and creatine into your skeletal muscle cells. So if you have creatine, you have glucose, and that's why you've probably heard all of the recommendations about taking creatine with sugar so that you can spike your insulin so that then the insulin can trigger these active transport mechanisms to bring glucose, both glucose and creatine, into your skeletal muscle cells. So that's the analog that that I really highly recommend. It seems to have very, very few reports of intestinal bloating and the problems that are associated with a poor bioavailability. And you're also getting that glucose to spike that insulin to drive that creatine into your muscle cells more efficiently.
And does this work better? Does this work better than if you just use regular creatine monohydrate and just take it with sugar or, like...
Not necessarily. No,
okay.
Not necessarily. It depends upon your personal physiological constitution. If you can handle creatine monohydrate and not get the intestinal bloating and not get frequent, urination or other problems, then more than likely that's going to... that'll be sufficient for you. But for many people, they're just not able to get up to the creatine doses that they want to get the volumization that they want without having those problems of, intestinal bloating.
Got it.
So, and a lot of it is, the recommended amount for creatine supplements usually is something around 2 or 3 grams per day. But as you know, you can actually go well beyond this, basic recommended amount for short periods of time. It's called loading with creatine, and you can get tremendous volume gains during these loading periods. And, loading can, very, very commonly, loading doses will reach up to 20 grams per day. There have been many studies done with creatine, and very few side effects associated with these large loading doses. It's not really recommended to continuously take doses larger than 5 or 10 grams a day for extended periods of time. Although no studies have really shown that these loading doses, even taken over long periods of time, really cause any health problems. So it's really difficult to say, but the commonly recommended wisdom on creatine is that if you are going to take a loading dose, just do it periodically for a few days or a week, and then cut back to a maintenance dose of 2 to 3 or 3 to 5 grams, whatever you happen to be taking,
right.
At for your maintenance dose.
Great.
So yeah, the creatine gluconate versus creatine monohydrate. If you can take creatine monohydrate in your normal dose, your routine maintenance dose, that's great. But if you want to do loading, if you want to go beyond 3 grams a day, and you have the bloating or problems associated with poor absorption, then you might want to consider some of these other analogs, including creatine gluconate.
Yeah, that's a great addition for that too. I mean, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, people are so caught up in all the other analogs, and the thing is that once they hit the market, people know that as soon as they hit, it's something new about on an analog of a supplement that people know works. So that means you can charge a lot of money at the very beginning. I mean, creatine monohydrate, when it first came out, oh my God, you needed to take a mortgage out on your house just to pay for regular creatine monohydrate when it first came out. So, you know, now I tell people that, you know, if you can use regular creatine monohydrate, use it. Why pay for all the ethylesters and everything else if you don't need to, if the regular stuff works for you? And so for those people that did give up on creatine, this is a great option for you, the creatine gluconate. Now, let's go ahead and move on now to number two on the top three for top mass building supplements.
Okay, very good. Well, just real quick,
yeah.
I wanted to mention that the second major problem with creatine is in the liver enzymes that can hyperactively degrade or break down creatinase in the liver to prevent that from ever reaching systemic circulation. And a lot of people have that problem. They're called creatine non-responders. And there's really not a lot that
there's no creatine, hope for them?
No, there is. There's some hope. You can try some of these other creatine analogs like dicreatine malate or the creatine gluconate. Or there's a creatine precursor. It's glycosamine, as it sounds like a glucose or something, glycosamine, but no, it's just creatine without a methyl group and attached. And if you take this glycosamine and a methyl donor like dimethylglycine or trimethylglycine, TMG, or betaine anhydrous, you can give this methyl donor in portal circulation with the glycosamine, and then you kind of trick the liver into actually manufacturing creatine and bypassing these liver enzymes that would be breaking it down, preventing it from reaching portal circulation. So that's just another possibility.
That sounds like you need your own laboratory and beakers and
bubbling potion.
Actually,
the commonly recommended dose is just take 2 grams of glycosamine, and you want to take about 4 to 5 grams of trimethylglycine. And I actually sell a lot of this to countries like Brazil where creatine is banned. And so they, a lot internationally, I sell the this creatine precursor, because they can't buy or import creatine, but they can import glycosamine and trimethylglycine, and
wow.
Essentially you take them both and you put them together and you got creatine. So
and a big explosion happens, and all of a sudden you've got a bottle of creatine in front of you. Good
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Well, no, no, you, well, yeah, in your liver. That's where the conversion takes place. Yeah, okay. Well, let's, sorry about the interruption, but.
No, 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 it's okay.
Number two. Yeah, number two. We're going to go with arginine for number two. Arginine is one of the most popular supplements.
I love it. I love L-arginine.
Today.
Yeah, I love L-arginine.
Yeah, you just can't do do better than arginine. I mean, it's ubiquitous in the markets and in formulas as well. And why? Well, it's ubiquitous because of several things. Arginine is it's not an essential amino acid, but it is necessary for the NOS, nitric oxide synthase, to synthesize this enzyme, to synthesize nitric oxide, which is the trigger and signal physiologically to relax our arterioles, our blood vessels. It's how our blood vessels relax and loosen up to increase blood flow. And
this is where a lot of people know about this, because one of the other, and you know, again, this is one of those supplements that people have come to know because there's all these nitric oxide supplements that are out there, and the whole marketing angle for them is strictly to pump up your muscles. Like, everybody loves
right.
that pumped up feeling from the gym.
Yeah.
And so people know of L-arginine as the supplement you take to maintain that pumped up feeling. But, you know, and I know you're going to get into this, but there's so many other benefits to L-arginine than just, hey, it feels good throughout the day.
Yeah, absolutely. Arginine is one of the best supplements that we can take for cardiovascular health, for general heart health. It's just a tremendous nutritional supplement. It's also good for, it has cognitive benefits, and arginine is a precursor for human growth hormone. And you don't make human growth hormone in the anterior pituitary gland unless you have circulating arginine. And so it's a very necessary and fundamental nutrient. We consume lots of arginine with our diets, mostly meat. We'll have arginine entering into our bloodstream. But supplementing with arginine can really give benefits, cardiovascular benefits, heart health benefits, nootropic or cognitive benefits, can increase HGH production, and it can give you that pumped up feeling, you know, with your workouts, because your vasodilation will increase blood flow to your skeletal muscles during and post workout, which will decrease recovery time, increase blood flow, will increase the volumization. That's why they call it, you know, all these supplements out there that use the word pump in it. And if you look on the ingredients label, it'll always have some L-arginine analog or thereof.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is one of the reasons why I include this supplement in a PM formula for my homemade supplements course for a hormone booster, because of its ability to increase growth hormone, particularly at night when you have the highest peak of growth hormone, you know, when you're sleeping. But here's something else that I've seen some recent studies on, and actually I just did an interview for this. It's now being, there have been some studies that have shown that it's extremely effective for erectile dysfunction.
Absolutely.
Because in order for a man to achieve an erection, the smooth muscle of the smooth penile muscle has to be able to relax. I know that sounds a little weird, but the nitric oxide from the L-arginine allows that process to begin, and they've had some absolutely incredible success rates with a combination of supplements, and one of those main ones was L-arginine. Now,
yeah.
you have different analogs as well for L-arginine. What's the one that you recommend? Because I know that there are different kinds that are out there. What do you recommend for somebody that wants to start supplementing with L-arginine?
It really depends. There, let's see, I carry L-arginine based, which is the free-form amino acid L-arginine. It's the most basic form. I don't recommend that one as a general bulk powder nutritional supplement because of the taste. It's one of the worst tasting supplements on the planet. And but it is the most basic form of L-arginine. I do sell a lot of it, but just not for bulk powder formulations. There's a supplement that's most closest to that L-arginine base is L-arginine HCl, L-arginine monohydrochloride, that has this hydrochloride attached to it, which reduces the pH to where it starts tasting sour instead of really bad. And it actually doesn't taste bad at all. You can mix L-arginine HCl with fruit juice or just take it with water, and you can tolerate that very easily. L-arginine, you talked about ED, erectile dysfunction, is a great way to naturally, and nutritionally, attack that problem in a way that can have very good results for many men. Not everybody, but for many men, the boost that they're going to get in nitric oxide with an L-arginine supplement can really help them. Now, the L-arginine HCl is it takes about an hour following ingestion of L-arginine to really have a lot of the systemic nitric oxide benefit. So it's not quite like Viagra where, which you've got 20 minutes or a half an hour or something like that.
Yeah.
Before you start seeing results. It's going to take a little bit longer with L-arginine HCl, but you will, if you're responsive, you will get similar benefits. Now, there's also a supplement you talked about, and I'll just move right into L-arginine pyroglutamate, or L-arginine L-pyroglutamate, is an arginine analog that I carry that was made very popular and well known by the University of Rome back in 1989, a study that they did with 15 to 20-year-olds. They're pretty young kids, 15 to 20-year-olds. There are 25 test subjects. And they were given a supplement of just 1,200 milligrams of L-arginine L-pyroglutamate and 1,200 milligrams of L-lysine. So that's just a little over a gram each. But the average increase in systemic circulating human growth hormone with just those two supplements was 700%. And some of those subjects had phenomenal 2,800% increase in systemic growth, human growth hormone. And there is some controversy about that particular protocol, because when you look at these PM boosters now, you'll see that very few of them actually use L-arginine L-pyroglutamate. They use L-arginine alpha-ketoglutarate, or they use L-arginine base, or L-arginine HCl. They don't use the L-arginine L-pyroglutamate. And so there's some contention, and I really can't answer what the truth is and what the what's real and what isn't, but there the controversy is whether or not you actually have to follow the protocol with the L-arginine L-pyroglutamate or whether you can use some other L-arginine analog. There's one camp that argues that the L-lysine, well, see, it all boils down to active transport across the blood-brain barrier, as you and hopefully some of your listeners know. Getting L-arginine from systemic circulation into brain circulation isn't easy. It's because there's no active transport mechanisms for L-arginine into brain circulation. So there's a way of with this protocol, L-lysine and L-arginine pyroglutamate, to trick the blood-brain barrier into accepting the L-arginine into circulation by loosely binding the L-arginine with the L-lysine, and then the active transport for L-lysine, because that is actively transported into brain circulation, drags the L-lysine with the L-arginine attached into brain circulation. And that is the protocol. That's how they got such high systemic HGH production by the anterior pituitary.
Now, I have a question here, because one of the reasons why, I mean, I didn't realize L-arginine was kind of low on the totem pole for actually getting past the blood-brain barrier, and hopefully there are probably some people out there, I mean, I'll kind of explain this a little bit as basic as I can, but there are amino acids that are all trying to break that blood-brain barrier, all compete for assimilation, and so you basically have these different groups of amino acids that are all trying to get in there, and if you have too many of all within the same group that you're trying to take at the same time, they all compete to get in there, and you're going to reduce assimilation past the blood-brain barrier. Now, the basic group of amino acids, arginine is one of them, and L-lysine is one of them. And so my thought was that, and what I've always understood is that those two compete, so if you take them both together, you're going to get substandard assimilation of those, because they're both in the same group, they're both trying to pass through the blood-brain barrier at the same time, and that competition doesn't allow one of them to get through, or maybe a little bit of each, but not maximally. So you're saying that adding the L-lysine to the L-arginine, actually, lysine goes through easier, and because it does, it can kind of, the L-arginine can kind of tag along easier?
Exactly. And that is why you will most frequently see in these PM booster formulas, you will see both L-lysine and some analog of L-arginine, is because of this University of Rome study that was done where they got these tremendous, HGH, increases. So, but the controversy that I was referring to involves whether or not it has to be L-arginine, L-pyroglutamate, or whether any, and whether or not that, that loose peptide bond formed between the L-lysine to the pyroglutamate, or was it to the L-arginine peptide itself?
Well, heck, as far as I'm concerned, if they got those kind of results, why not just recreate what they used and stop arguing about it?
Right,
like,
exactly.
Who cares?
Right, and that's what a lot of formulas do. They actually do use the L-arginine L-pyroglutamate, but it is a significantly more expensive L-arginine analog than the L-arginine alpha-ketoglutarate or the L-arginine base. That's why most of those PM boosters actually use L-arginine base, because it is the cheapest analog. So I can't really, I don't really know what's most effective. I do carry both the L-arginine L-pyroglutamate and the L-arginine alpha-ketoglutarate and the L-arginine base and the L-arginine HCL. So,
the way I would probably test it and probably will test it is to, I mean, I'm a fan of the L-arginine alpha-ketoglutarate, and so I take that in the evening time. I'm not taking the lysine. So give me a recommendation if I want to take L-arginine, alpha-ketoglutarate, and L-lysine. How much would I take in the evening time of each of those?
Okay, now we're getting into to one topic that is going to be somewhat interesting, and that is L-arginine taken at night. L-arginine has, when taken in large oral doses, can have an inhibitory action for sleep. It actually, for most people, will make them slightly more energetic, slightly more fidgety. And one of the real problems with L-arginine supplementation at night is when L-arginine is broken down by arginase, hepatic and systemic enzyme, and then goes through the normal physiological processes breaking down. Nitrogen is produced as a byproduct, which is in in our bodies is in the form of ammonia, and when that ammonia is in our brains, it inhibits sleep. It makes it difficult for us to sleep. And that's why I personally recommend for PM formulas the inclusion of L-ornithine, because L-ornithine is a member, an active member of the urea cycle, and L-ornithine will scavenge and clear those ammonia molecules from the brain and from systemic circulation. L-ornithine is really an amazing supplement. It's not really the topic of our L-arginine conversation right now, but I do blend L-ornithine and L-arginine together. I have two blends. One is L-arginine HCL, L-ornithine HCL, and the other is L-arginine alpha-ketoglutarate, L-ornithine alpha-ketoglutarate. If you go to most nutritional supplement stores, you'll see these two amino acids blending together, and that's because of the synergy between them. The L-ornithine also acts as an feedback inhibitor of arginase, the hepatic and systemic enzyme that breaks down L-arginine and, you know, reduces our circulating blood levels of L-arginine. So by supplementing with both L-arginine and L-ornithine, we can kind of trigger and turn off that arginase enzyme a little bit. It's not a really, really potent or strong inhibitor, but it will inhibit it enough to cause elevation of blood arginine levels with arginine supplementation. In fact, just L-ornithine supplementation, even without the L-arginine, will increase blood levels of L-arginine. So just taking L-ornithine will increase L-arginine because you're turning off, to some extent, that arginase hepatic enzyme, which allows more arginine to enter into and to reach a higher level in systemic circulation just with that one supplement. So as a PM booster, I would recommend the inclusion of L-ornithine in some form, L-ornithine HCL or L-ornithine alpha-ketoglutarate. It is reputed to have benefit in helping people achieve sleep and quality of sleep, and that's L-ornithine. And so if you're going to take L-arginine at night and you're not going to take L-ornithine, you might notice that trouble sleeping.
So what would you recommend for dosage for these three then for maximizing? Because everything I'm hearing here is that L-arginine is great, and everybody knows, well, people know if they're taking any sort of nitric oxide supplement, yay, L-arginine, you know. But
right.
what you're saying is that L-arginine can be boosted by the inclusion of lysine and even L-ornithine, nighttime or daytime. It sounds like both of those added to it will actually help. And this is news to me because I thought these were all competing amino acids and that they had a hard time.
Right. Lysine isn't going to necessarily help your L-arginine during the day. At night, it will. See, because at night, we're doing this PM booster, and the reason they're called PM boosters and the reason everybody's doing this at night is because HGH, the hormone, human growth hormone produced by the anterior pituitary gland, is inhibited by high insulin, you know, which is what we're trying to do when we take sugar with our creatine. We want high insulin to drive that into our muscle cells, but that's why we can't take a PM booster during the day because our insulin is too high. HGH is inhibited by high insulin or high blood sugar. So we want both low blood sugar and we want low insulin blood levels, and then our anterior pituitary gland is in the physiological state that it needs to be to produce human growth hormone. So, so that's what we want to do. We want to take these at night for human growth hormone. The L-arginine alpha-ketoglutarate is what I particularly recommend in this particular case, and the L-ornithine alpha-ketoglutarate. You can have so that the ornithine will help to compensate for the, you know, for the insomnia that may be caused by the L-arginine. And then with the L-lysine in there, you're getting these transport mechanisms that are transporting the L-lysine through the blood-brain barrier. You're getting those going, and they're dragging along some of that L-arginine as well. So, L-ornithine is a very good amino acid taken in combination with the L-ornithine. You can increase your circulating levels of L-arginine. So anybody that's taking L-arginine, you know, you might want to consider taking L-ornithine along with that for even greater benefit from that.
So what do you recommend for dosage for the L-arginine, alpha-ketoglutarate?
As a PM booster, you don't need all that much because you just don't want to take too much because you're going to interfere with sleep. Now, if you don't, then you can tolerate a larger dose. But it's going to be someplace in the range of 3 to 5 grams of, say, the L-arginine, L-ornithine blend. Typically, these are blended in two parts L-arginine to one part L-ornithine. So if you're taking 3 grams of L-arginine alpha-ketoglutarate, L-ornithine alpha-ketoglutarate, you're taking 2 grams of L-arginine and 1 gram of L-ornithine. And then because you're taking 3 grams of L-arginine, you would want to take 3 grams of lysine with that. There's not much problem with taking the L-lysine. You can pretty much take that any time, and it's not really going to affect your sleep process or your physical discomforts or gastrointestinal problems. It's a pretty benign amino acid.
All right. Well, we're kind of running a little bit short on time here, so let's go ahead and jump right into the third one for the top mass building supplements.
Yeah, okay. I recommend DHEA as a supplement for virtually everyone that I talk to. I recommend DHEA because more than any other supplement that I know in the marketplace, as a commonly available nutritional supplement, DHEA can have more profound effects on your life than any other supplement. DHEA is a steroid hormone, by the way, which means that there can and will be side effects associated from steroid hormones. But you're saying, well, I thought steroids were illegal. Well, yeah, anabolic steroids are illegal. DHEA is not an anabolic steroid. It is a nutritional supplement. It's available over the counter here in the United States. It is banned in a few countries, but it is commonly available. If you've heard of Tribulus terrestris, the powdered extract that boosts testosterone, that's basically the same thing as DHEA. It has virtually identical physiological processes that are going on to boost testosterone and the androsterone hormones or steroids that are being produced. So DHEA can tremendously increase the quality of life for many people, and it has. But there is that word of caution in that because it is a steroid hormone, it can go into non-beneficial hormones or steroids as well, such as, for example, you're taking the DHEA, and typical doses on that, I know we're running out of time, will range between 25 and 50 milligrams per day. Some guys can take more. There is a loading period when you first start to take DHEA of about 3 to 5 weeks. 4 weeks on average is what you really need to take DHEA before you start to receive the full results and benefits of that particular supplement.
And see, that's important because, you know, especially the people that look at the ads in the magazines, we look for immediate results. I mean, we're just a society of you know, give it to me now. And, you know, especially when you're looking at supplements, like you take them before your workout, you get a great big pump. I mean, that's what people want. They don't want to spend a lot of money, and they certainly don't want to spend a lot of money on something that isn't going to work for them. So if they don't feel or see a benefit, that's tough for people. So when you say that you need to take it for 4 to 5 weeks, a lot of people might take it for a week, and it's like, oh, this stuff isn't working for me. And some supplements you can get that immediate benefit from, like caffeine. You know, you take it, wham, you know it works, you know, within 10 minutes. But, you know, when you take some, when you're talking about supplements like you're talking about, DHEA, you really have to be on your game and be serious about it and take it just like you would if you were, your doctor told you you were taking it, an antibiotic. You know, you can't stop taking it. You have to take it religiously for it to have its full benefit. And so a lot of people take supplements part-time. You know, they take it when they remember to take it, which is about, you know, maybe 3 days out of the week. And that can be kind of tough when you're talking about something that takes 5 weeks to really see the benefit. I mean, this goes for other supplements as well, but for DHEA, this is another one that I strongly recommend myself, and from the standpoint of, we start losing our body's own natural production of DHEA at an early age, and, you know, especially as we get older, we start to lose that. This is a great one. So I'm glad that you chose this one, because I don't want to. I'm glad somebody brought it up.
Yeah, but a word of caution, and that is that, you know, if you're a man and you're considering taking DHEA, there can be side effects, such as if you're susceptible, if you have that gene for male pattern baldness, you take DHEA, and DHEA is a steroid precursor. It will be converted to testosterone, which can really help you, give you a lot of energy, give you really a lot of power in your workouts, and you know, it's just, you can just get massive gains with these increased testosterone levels. But it can also go to the androgen steroids that will trigger, or can trigger, male pattern baldness. So if you've already got male pattern baldness and you're worried about exacerbating that problem, then, you know, you really got to really be careful about DHEA supplementation, because it can trigger that or increase your hair loss. Another problem is DHEA in men will be converted into estrogen, and estrogen is a female hormone, or female hormone that is not what men really need in great amounts. Men do have it and do need it in very small amounts, but not in large amounts. You can have, in men, it can lead to breast tissue and feminizing characteristics, which would not be good. So those are the things you really need to watch out for with DHEA. You can get some tremendously good results. And even with those negatives, I still do recommend it. But you just got to be careful. You got to find your optimal dose. You can take, when you're first starting out with DHEA, you can take very large doses. When I started taking it, I was taking 500 milligrams per day, which is 10 times what I should have been taking. But it wasn't a problem at all for me, because that was a loading dose for me, and after about two weeks, then boom, I started feeling that DHEA characteristic response. And for most people, you can, if you're sensitive to your body and to how you feel, and to, you know, your perceptions of your energy levels, you can feel that response that you're getting from the DHEA, and then cut back. And I did. I was taking 500 milligrams for 2 weeks. I cut back to a couple hundred milligrams for another week, and then I cut back to 100 milligrams. And after about 4 or 5 weeks, I found that my optimal dose was 37.5 milligrams I mean, precisely. If I took 50 milligrams per day after a couple weeks, you know, after that loading period, I knew it was too much. And if I took 25 milligrams, I knew it was too little. And as we age, as we, you know, as we all do, we all age. And I'm 52 years old, so I saw a tremendous benefit with DHEA supplementation. Virtually anybody over 40 is going to it's going to be one of the most profound life-altering things that you can do in your life is to supplement with DHEA if you're over the age of 40.
Now, are there ways that you can balance out the possible? I supplement with 50 milligrams a day of DHEA. I've never had any problems with any estrogen problems or anything like that.
Right. Estrogen blockers are good. I don't particularly carry any estrogen blockers right now. It is something that I do want to carry, and there's two principal ones that are sold in the marketplace right now. So, yeah, I don't happen to carry them, but I will. It's just as soon as I can, I'll get them in stock. I do have 300. I was just looking at my price list now. I have 334 product listings on my price list. So I do have a lot of everything, you know, here in bulk nutritional raw material powders. But that, those are something that are high on my acquisition list. And if you or any of your listeners know of supplements that you don't see here on my product listings, be sure and email or call me and let me know about what you think I should be adding to my product lineup. But yeah, and an estrogen blocker would be a really good thing to take with DHEA supplementation. Cognitive benefits with DHEA, tremendous. That's one of the first things that I noticed with DHEA supplementation was just increased alertness, mental acuity, memory recall. It helps to return our physiological processes to a more youthful basis so that we will start to feel and act, younger than our chronological age.
Well, brother, I'm 41 now, so I definitely need that. I'm not whining. Don't send me the emails, everybody, about me whining that I'm 41 now. But I certainly do know what I do feel the aging process creeping up on me now. So definitely anti-aging supplementation is something that is a real. In fact, I'm going to get you on the phone again sometime here in the future, and we're going to talk about anti-aging supplements. So, but Timothy, great stuff here. Some incredible information there. I think a lot of the in-depth stuff that I think people will give them a really good education, and some of the supplements that they're probably already taking and don't necessarily understand the process that, I think everybody should know why they're taking something and what it actually does in their body, and then to help them decipher all of the secret language of supplement producers and manufacturers and what they're putting out there. You've given some great information to help them really kind of filter through some of that bogus information out there. So I thank you for taking some time with us tonight and giving us these great recommendations. And definitely, everybody, go over to Timothy's site. It's at purebulk.com. Again, if you go through the checkout there, you're going to type in Muscle Nerd in the coupon code area there, and that will give you a 5% discount on these supplements. Good quality stuff. I have several bags of supplements that I have bought from Timothy, and they all work fantastic, really great quality products. Timothy, thanks once again for your time tonight.
Thank you very much, Jeff. I really appreciate coming on with you tonight.
Well, you'll be back on again, man. All right, everybody. So this is the Muscle Nerd, Jeff Anderson, from Underground Bodybuilding Tips. Thanks so much for listening, and train hard and stay committed.